first of all, he's going to have to deflect criticism that he's a soft target within Indonesia. So he might be having to over-exaggerate his nationalist credentials, particularly in the face of the campaign with Prabowo Subianto. So what that might mean will be emphasising economic nationalism. And indeed, even though it's difficult to work out economic ideologies within Indonesian politics, he does appear, if anything, to be more of an economic nationalist. So what that might mean, and he's already, and his stated policies are, that he's going to continue the policy of resource-based industrialisation, which means sort of essentially value-adding to Indonesian raw materials. And that's been achieved so far through export restrictions, particularly in the mining sector. It's probably the most well-known example of that, where in an attempt to encourage the development of smelters within Indonesia, so there'd be an export ban on minerals. It's applied to some other agricultural commodities as well. So if he continues with that policy, then there might be continued export restrictions in place. He's also, in fact, food self-sufficiency was a key theme throughout the campaign, and he is has stated that his willingness to continue with, albeit in a modified form, the import restrictions on certain basic foodstuffs.
So what's an example of an import restriction?
Well, for Indonesia, I think they talk about five commodities. What is that? So rice, corn, beef, sugar, and soybeans are the key ones, all of which Indonesia is currently a net importer, but which it has ambitions to be self-sufficient in.
And so we do see, you know, there are restrictions on the import of horticulture and on beef.
Mm.
You're saying that will continue?
Yes, it's likely to. I mean, Jokowi has been very critical of what he calls an import mafia, whereby these commodities are restricted, but then licences given out to presumably well-connected or powerful trading companies. So he said he's going to deal with these import mafia as a priority. What that means in practice is unclear, because at the same time he's also very certain about his determination to continue with restrictions in some form. So I don't see them absolving overnight, no.
We do know that there has been accusations of corruption with some of those beef licences handed out. So will he crack down on corruption among any importers and their relationships with the licence providers?
Jokowi, I think his experience has shown that he's more of a bureaucratic reformer as opposed to an economic reformer. So what he has managed to do during his time in Solo and then in Jakarta has been to clean up certain aspects of the bureaucracy. And he's got a well-earned reputation as a clean operator. And I think a lot of people are certainly hoping and that he will continue this, I guess, crackdown on corruption. So, yes, he's highlighted that as being a high priority, and has also highlighted the sorts of the licensees that have benefited from the current regime in beef and some other commodities.
So Australia's relationship with Indonesia, let's look a bit more at that. Indonesia is Australia's largest agricultural aid recipient. How will that proceed?
Well, from my experience, I have had a research project into Indonesian agriculture that had been approved by Australia just about a year ago. And then because of deteriorating relations between our countries, that had been put on hold. And then just recently, in fact, a day after the elections on July 9th, that project had been approved in Jakarta. So I'm not sure if there's any direct correlation there, but it seems to signify a cooling of tensions and hopefully a sign that the relationship looking ahead will be improving.
What's your program looking at in Indonesia?
I'm looking at rural poverty alleviation in relation to the coffee and cocoa sectors, which are two important export crops from Indonesia that affect the lives of a lot of smallholders. So our project's looking at how those smallholders are integrated into global markets and what that means for their livelihoods.
Could they become bigger producers of cocoa and coffee?
Well, yeah, the government certainly has ambitions to be. So Indonesia is already the third largest producer in the world of each of those commodities. And yes, there's certainly potential to increase that. The current policy, it goes back to this, the ambitions of, I guess, of value adding. So at the moment, the focus is on downstream processing of basic commodities, and that's certainly affecting sectors such as cocoa in particular, and then coffee to a lesser extent.
Are you saying that they should be developing that?
Well, that's what they are doing. I think it's still an open question about what that means for the country. They certainly see in exports of cocoa butter and cocoa powder of higher value than exports of cocoa beans, and they'd like to see more of that processing happening within Indonesia. If that can be done in such a way that the producers, the farmers themselves, are not negatively affected, then it's probably an overall benefit for the economy.